This is the Soul Sisters Christmas Special.
Hello and happy Christmas, one and all.
How's it going, Georgie? I haven't seen you for a month.
I know, and now I'm blurry.
You are.
I'm blurry on your screen, but hopefully I'm clear in your ears.
You are. What's going on with the screen?
Oh, you know, just a little window lean on your Mac doesn't go down well.
You took window lean to the Mac. I would have said you should have gone via Google maybe before you got.
How are you, Claire? Do you have a Christmas tree up?
Not a single. You wouldn't know it was Christmas if you wandered in here, which I'm sure is no surprise to you.
I had a feeling you were going to say that.
Yeah, no Christmas cheer. Do you know, I'm probably going to go down the road and buy a little wreath and put it on my door.
Okay.
And I do have an inflatable Santa that is on a that is on a
sounds saucy.
Which I keep in my bedroom. I have an inflatable Santa, which is on a rope ladder, which swings down over my balcony, my front balcony. Now, my hesitation to put it out this year is because I know last year Imogen didn't say it, but she thought it looked cheap.
Okay, how did you know?
I could just tell by her face. She looked over the balcony. She's like, oh. And then she came back up and she was like, that's sweet.
Isn't it funny now? You're going to put a wreath on your door and hang a Santa over your balcony. So it's all external Christmas things, but there's no Christmas inside of your house.
God, that's a good observation. Yeah, that's a really good observation.
Now, is that because you're coming home for Christmas and you're just like,
That's probably the answer I'd like to give you. But if I was to interrogate myself a little bit more, it's probably that I want the world to think I'm celebrating Christmas, but inside I'm the Grinch.
It's not true, Claire. It's not true.
No, you're right. I'm not actually the Grinch. I used to dread Christmas, and I want to talk today a little bit about some of the holiday hacks, as Glennon Doyle called them on her podcast, or little helpful tips that can make Christmas just a little bit smoother for us all. So I am looking forward to flying home to Dublin for Christmas. I'm coming home from the 18th to the 29th, which is a really long stay. And Christmas will be happening at Casa Solan and down at my sister's with my little nephews. So I will get my fill of Christmas tree and decos and stuff. But I'm still unable to kind of create that magic for myself in my own gaff.
Yeah, well, that's the reason, I suppose, why we're doing a Christmas special this year is because, you know, we're all so different. We're all on these individual journeys and Christmas isn't the same for everyone. But I suppose we can try to connect with joy in whatever way we can. I'm really excited that you're coming home. We're going to try to do a swim on the 18th. So I fly off to France on the 19th. And I said that this would have been the year, I think, that I would have gotten into the sea at Christmas. Because, sorry, there's so much smoke. It's just my sage burning.
Not only is your screen blurry, but suddenly there's smoke coming from the incense.
So I think this was the year that I was going to embrace the Christmas swim, but we are going away. But I'm going to do my Christmas swim, hopefully on the 18th with you, Claire, and a few Soul Sisters.
Oh, deadly. Like down in the 40 foot or Sandy Cove or something like that. Where are you going to go?
Yeah, the Sandy Cove side. So it's nice and calm there. So I've been doing that. I've been getting into the sea over the last while, helped by my cold water challenge, the Wim Hof cold shower thing that I was doing. Got me used to the cold water. I'm surprised, Claire, that I always told myself, no way, I swim in the summer, but I wouldn't be able to do it in the winter. But it's not that much colder.
So here's the interesting thing about that. I mean, most people do say this, so they probably know by now. But because we've had a pretty good summer, the sea retains that heat for longer. So like the winter swims you would think would be cold, but actually the water is not too bad.
So come here, how has the last couple of months been for you? Where are you at?
I probably at the best stage of 2022 now, at this point.
Oh, I'm so glad. And I am at a really good stage of 2022. And that scares me, Claire, because this is the most distance we've been from each other. I don't like that. Why are we both in such a good place yet so far away from each other?
It's, well, I suppose what we're maybe doing is we're kind of focusing on ourselves and our little ecosystems and giving ourselves what we need, like putting the learnings into practice maybe.
Yes. And I was chatting to you on the phone the other day and I said, you know, I needed a winter of paring it all back, cancelling some things, like going back into the books and learning and chatting to Miriam and Jerry and spending time with my family and spending time with myself to find some answers and kind of live the message. So it has been nice to do that, hasn't it?
Massively. And I think it's interesting because you, the more you kind of go out into the world or you're in with your friendship groups and you're doing stuff constantly, you're diluting your own identity a bit. So you're right, you need to get back to your roots and nest a little bit. Have a winter season for yourself, which means just resting, cocooning. Like I'm, you know, my when I was with my sister, her two boys were there with me for the weekend and then I headed off. And Bodhi, the little fella, was saying to my sister after I'd gone, Auntie Gow, they call me Auntie Gow, Auntie Gow's bottle, Auntie Gow's bottle. So Ruth was looking around for a water bottle. She was like, oh no, did Auntie Gow leave her water bottle? No, it was the hot water bottle that I clung to all weekend. So like just there's just a coziness that feels necessary this winter.
I think the biggest thing I learned this year, and this is what I wanted to bring to the podcast today, Claire, is slow down to speed up.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's been a tough year for us all. It's been like, let's get back to it. Let's get back to normal. You know, we were meeting up with our friends. We were reconnecting with people. I mean, at the start of the year on this podcast, Claire, do you remember I was saying I was scared to leave my house?
Yes. Yes.
That's how far we've come in a year. So slow down to speed up. I went away on my holidays. This was a big learning for me in Spain this year for 2 weeks and I recorded 5 podcasts. Now, that wasn't intentional. It's just the way it worked out for me this summer with recording The Good Glow. But I came home so tired and I said, I can't keep going at this rate. So as you know, I cancelled my show in December. I cancelled a season of The Good Glow at the end of the year. And I said, no, I want to spend this time writing my book. And I have taken myself off every single day. I have completely slowed everything down. Now, I could have written my book and recorded a season and planned a show at the same time. But what good is that to anyone, especially to myself? And I wrote about this a lot in my book over the last while. So slow down to speed up. And anyone who's feeling burnout from the year, can you schedule in rest this Christmas? This December, can you give back to yourself, even if it's only for an hour a day?
Massive. And I think we talked about this before we finished the last season of Soul Sisters, creating new traditions. Christmas is steeped in the legacy of our forefathers, the way that families do Christmas year after year after year after year. And what we do is we just every year we show up because we feel like this is what we owe each other and our families. And 25 minutes in, people are looking at each other across the room going, I'm going to throttle her. I'm going to absolutely lift her over. So what I plan to do myself, and I think other families could follow suit, is just make sure you're having a Christmas for yourself. Make sure the stuff that you agree to, going to see Auntie Vera or, you know, going down the road to meet the neighbours, whatever. If you don't feel connected to that experience, don't go, you know. Say to yourself, or if it's you and your family, you and your partner, you and the kids, whatever it is, just say, do you know what? We're going to skip Vera's this year. We'll come down to you when you're back from the neighbours or whatever it is. Because when you agree to do something and you show up to some event that isn't something that you really want to do, that's when the little resentment starts to grow. the seed sprouts and you feel, there I am again, showing up for other people. And before you know it, Christmas is ruined.
I love this, Claire. And this is a big learning for me on our retreat that we went on. So that we went on, that we hosted. I feel like I went on the retreat because I went on the journey with everyone. But basically, there was this amazing girl on our retreat who said that she was so used to doing other things for other people that she would go to, say, a family event on a Sunday, put all the kids in the car, husband, they'd be like, like, why are we doing this? No one wants to go. And then they'd come home from the event and they'd be like squabbling at each other because... it made nobody happy.
Yes.
So what were they doing? They were doing it to make this person happy, or they were doing it because that's what they always do. So that's great advice, Claire. What can you do this Christmas? What are your traditions? Break the cycle, what you always say. What tradition can you create for you and your family, or just you, this Christmas? So for me, my new tradition is a swim. At Christmas, that's what I'm going to do. I would love nothing more now to go for a swim on Christmas Day. I haven't done that for the 37 years that I've been alive before, but just because I normally go to the neighbor's house for a glass of something on Christmas morning, that doesn't fill up my tank.
Yes.
So I'm going to go and take myself off for a swim. I also have these friends, Claire and Grattan. They are pure joy. They're the sort of people who you just want to be around because they love each other so much. They invest time in their family, like they're pure joy. Mm-hmm. And I remember them telling me years ago, and I think I told you this a couple of months ago, that their tradition is on Christmas Eve, the five of them go to the cinema, and then on the way home, they stop and they get chipper chips, and then they have roasted a ham or whoever you cook a ham all day. So they get home from the cinema and they have their ham and their chipper chips, and it's Christmas Eve and that's their tradition. I love it.
You did tell me this a few months ago, and this story has travelled right round my network. I've spoken to people in the office in London about it. I've spoken to friends about it over here in London. I cannot get over what a beautiful little tradition this is. A, because going to the cinema, there'll be nobody there on Christmas Eve. It'll just be you. So stay out of the pub, or stay out of, you know, get out of your own gaff on Christmas, because everyone's just sitting there waiting for it to happen. You know, skip midnight mass. Who gives a shit? Go off to the cinema. Go down to Macari's. I heard Bono on a podcast with Brené Brown lately on Unlocking Us. And she asked him, oh, I love Bono. She asked him, what's his favourite meal? And he said, chipper chips from Macari's in Dublin.
Whoa.
He was in Texas with Brené Brown and he said, Macari's chips. So that is such a lovely tradition, and it's one I'm going to deploy in my own life for sure.
I love it. So we're encouraging soul sisters, and even like write it down, you know, write down your intention for Christmas this year. What is it going to be? And mine, you know, is a Christmas swim. I might even wear a Santa hat.
I did actually wear a Santa hat. Was it last year or the year before? We went down to the 40 foot in Dublin. Really magical place anyway when you go down. But on Christmas morning, it was a sunny Christmas morning. There were Santa hats everywhere. Skin and Santa hats. Woohoo! The best Christmas ever. Me and my sister held hands and jumped in off the rocks. And the two Santa hats nearly floated up, bobbed off into the Irish Sea.
Oh, Claire, that's amazing.
It was. And do you know what? My parents didn't come with us that morning. They were like, oh, no, we've got to do the dinner. And myself, my sister and her partner and the Baba came down. And it was the best start to the day because we got the dip in the cold water and we got the vibes, the Christmas vibes from everybody. We came back to the house and my parents hadn't left the house, and I could feel that sort of... They hadn't had the little injection of fun that we had had. Yeah. So my mum said after that, we will always come down with you to those events on a Christmas morning, because it just gives everybody a little lift.
and the absolute heroes that stay at home to cook the turkey. Do you know what I mean? My mum does that. She's done it for years, sacrificed her own happiness. And not that, you know, cooking makes people happy and my mum loves, you know, the Christmas Day vibes. But also, like, that's just giving to other people, isn't it?
There you go. I had a conversation with my dad on the phone not so long ago. He was a little bit under the weather, so I was chatting away to him. And I said, look, Ruth and I and Frank are going to take care of Christmas this year, like in terms of cooking and stuff, because dad is always like, you know, it's cooking first, it's turkey, is it moist, is you know, everything is all about, revolves around the kitchen. And he was like, oh, thank God, that's amazing. I hate it every year. Now he is in his late 70s and he's never articulated that before. So just because we're doing things year after year doesn't mean we enjoy our roles at Christmas. So, like, let's shake it up a bit, you know? He's going to be delighted now, sitting in on the couch with the two boys, playing with Christmas toys and watching Christmas TV. We're going to be in the kitchen.
Making... killing each other.
Yeah, exactly. Arguing over...
in your dry robes, hypothermia.
Arguing over... are you putting bacon in the sprouts? No, you're not putting bacon in the sprouts. But that's like, shake it up this year. The other piece of advice that I found, and this is probably for good for any single soul sisters out there who kind of end up going back to your family home and, you know, oh, you just feel a bit like a spare part because you're an adult, but you're going back and you're seeing your family and everybody else is doing their family stuff. The best piece of advice I got about making Christmas work as a singleton, as a single adult, fall into step with how your family house runs. So my parents get up late, then they have brekkie, they read the papers, they might go for a walk, they have dinner at 6:30. These things I fought against, you know, I was like, let's go do this. Why don't we do this? No, I won't be home for dinner. And it creates a kind of, particularly for people in their 70s, it creates unrest around them. Like, I'm coming in trying to mix things up a little bit and they're not that happy with it. So as soon as I was able to commit to falling into step with the habits that exist in that household, I then was able to say, I'm going off to have a swim. I'm going off to meet a friend. I'll be back at this time. And then we harmoniously did Christmas together.
That's really good advice.
Yeah, it also helps you not to retreat back into your teenage years. Because look, we all head home and we're like, here we go, Walton's Mountain. It's going to be the best Christmas ever. And then the door shuts and our pain bodies sit down around the table. And by, you know, the end of the meal, we're all feeling like triggered and angsty and upset and... so like try a, like we said, to put yourself first and make sure you're doing stuff that you enjoy at Christmas. And second of all, don't try and mess with the way that people live their lives.
Do you know, Claire, I was thinking yesterday because we were putting up our Christmas tree, and the Christmas tree is a big one for me because I think I said it to you at the start of the year that taking down the Christmas tree makes me feel really alive. Like, I'm like, oh my God, another year. But I also feel like that putting up the Christmas tree. And I think maybe because I was diagnosed in October, November, you know, I was going through it all this time 5 years ago. Mm. But I was putting up the Christmas tree yesterday and I was like, my results of my MRI scan is always hanging over me at this time of year. Now, less and less as the years have gone on. But I was putting up the tree yesterday and I was like, oh, I'd love a year where I don't have to worry about my scans. And then I stopped myself because I was like, my scans at this time of year remind me that I have everything I need.
Wow.
You know, even yesterday, like, we found this letter that we'd written to ourselves last Christmas, and in it I was like, I'm so grateful for our surrogate. So to read that yesterday, I was like, oh, like, it was like, oh my God, bit of a gut punch.
Yes.
But then I was like, but I have everything I need. Whoa. Right here in this room, and everything else that is coming for me is a bonus. Like another baby. Like, you know, even as silly to say an extension, another bathroom, you know, all of these things that I sit around. I wish I had a bigger house. I wish I had this. I wish I had that. No, I don't actually.
Yeah.
Because I have everything I need, and everything from today onwards in my life is a bonus.
That's giving me shivers.
So this year, you know, I talk about feng shui from time to time. I'm not no expert, but I do like to have a little bit of a Google around about these things from time to time. So this year, okay, was the year of the what? Can you guess?
I think I knew this. Okay, hang on a second.
So for us, right, it was probably the year of the aubergine. But in Chinese horoscopes and traditions, what would it be the year of?
Oh, I know this. I remember this. Hang on. Monkey?
No, it was the year of the tiger.
Ooh.
So it was the year of the tiger, which is why we saw a little bit of, not a little bit, but a lot of confrontation in the world this year. So, you know, the way it felt quite unsettled.
Yes.
And hostile out there, like obviously like Ukraine, Russia, everything that's going on in the world, in America. Yeah. It just felt like there was a lot of hostility. So the good news is that next year is the year of the rabbit. So the rabbit is more agreeable, often preferring tact and negotiation over outright hostility. But while the rabbit is less fierce, it is also as cunning as a fox. So the year of the rabbit is starting from January 22nd, 2023. And that is Chinese New Year. So the good news is that we're all going to get along better with one another next year, and successful new alliances and partnerships can sprout up across the world. So here's a few tips on how to attract luck in the year of the rabbit. So number one, wear white or blue accessories or clothes. Wear gold, silver or metal jewelry. Gold will attract prosperity. Clean houses attract prosperity. Now this, my house is clean, but it's not tidy. So that's a big one for me next year. I need to sort out my life. On the night of the Chinese New Year, place on the table 12 different types of fruit, especially round fruit. And on this website that I'll post a link to is a list of all that fruit. So bananas mean closeness between family members. Mango indicates wealth. Lemons ward off bad luck, which we know. Apples signify harmony. So they list off the 12 fruits that we should put on our table around those dates, the 21st and 22nd of January, to bring luck into our new year. Don't place yellow, orange or pink elements which signify fire in the center of the house. And this one is for you, Claire. If you want to attract love, place red roses in the western corner of your house every Friday.
Whoa!
So basically, if you've not been able to find your partner, or if you've been too busy to find a partner, it wasn't the right timing for you, that remedies for love should not just be placed in the house. You can carry them wherever you go and they can emphasize your charm.
So an armful of red roses wherever I go.
Every time you get on that bus, Claire. Every time you get on that tube.
All I'm going to say, now, I like this, right? The only problem with that is if somebody sees me walking with roses in my arms, they're going to be like, that girl's in love. She's just got them from someone.
Yeah, like she's off the table. Yeah. Oh my God, I love that. And this is really funny, right? So they say in your bedroom that there should be pairs of things.
Yes, I've heard this.
Represent kind of a couple or whatever. So it's so funny. So it's throw away or pack and store objects representing one person's image or one animal. So it says on the internet here, whether it's your mother's picture. Does that, do you have a picture of your mum in your bedroom?
I don't have any pictures of my mum anywhere, actually, no.
Okay, so whether it's your mother's picture, your dog, or the painting of a horse, they should not be placed in the bedroom. So you need to replace them with a representation of a couple or the image of two animals, two ducks, two peacocks. So there you go, Claire. That is how we're going to attract luck and love. And that's for married people too. So just say you're... relationship needs a bit of love and attention.
Yeah.
You know, put the roses in the house, put up the two ducks or the two peacocks, the two horses, whatever it is. And love could be, your love tank could be full in 2023.
So a couple of months ago when I was at home, my friend Laura introduced me to a girl called Georgina Durkin, also another Georgie. And she is the Soulful Life Coach on Instagram. And here's one of the fundamentals. I believe that you will have the conversations you're meant to have in life if you just let your life get into flow. So I was chatting away to Georgina and we were having a cup of tea, and she is a guide. She's a life coach. She's an energy healer. And what she can do is she can support you to connect with your soul. And that is the most authentic version of you. And that is the place in your self and your psyche where the answers lie. But very few of us get there. So without really planning it, we ended up having a conversation about blushing. And I think I was going through the mill a bit in work, trying to prove myself, trying to put myself out there a little bit more, but feeling really quite concerned about how I was coming across in meetings and feeling embarrassed. So anyway, Georgina taps in and becomes the voice of my soul and sits in front of me and says, there was a scenario, there was a situation in your childhood where you were very small, like 4 years of age, and you had a situation where you were so embarrassed and you were embarrassed in public. And that is the root of why you go red to this day. So at 41, she brought me all the way back to age 4. And we talked about it for about 10 minutes. And then that was it. She closed the session and we had a lovely cup of tea and I moved on with my day and she moved on with hers. And since then, I have not been pulling redners in meetings.
Oh my God. Oh my God. And did she do this online?
No, she does do it online, but actually I was sitting in front of her. Honestly, one of the most amazing experiences. And if you'd said to me prior to that experience, do you think you'll ever be able to shed like the blushing? I just would have said to you, nah, this is just going to be something I carry with me. Maybe I can wear more.
This is just who I am.
This is who I am. But it's not who I am. So that is the reminder. That like you think there are aspects of you that you will always have to continue to carry, that you won't be able to change and evolve. But actually all you need to do is connect with the right person in the right situation and you can change who you are.
I had written down here intentions for 2023 because one of my biggest learnings this year was learning that in order to do something, I believe you need to set an intention. So I learned this really through working on the September reset, which we did in September. And at the start of that, as you know, you helped us work on it. Everyone started the September reset with an intention. In January, we were bringing out the January refresh, which is like the September reset, but it's completely new content for January. So the first day of the January refresh, we're going to set an intention, right? But here's the thing. Here's the like 2.0. You set your intention for the year. So it may be, I want to start sea swimming. I want to start exercising. I want to, you know, do the work in 2023, right? So you've set your intention, but what do you need to let go of in order to work on your intention. So if you say to yourself, okay, I want to start sea swimming in 2023. I've been so afraid of the sea my whole life. I always told myself I wasn't that sort of person. Okay, you've set your intention, but what do you need to let go of? You need to let go of the fear.
Yes.
You need to let go of the belief that you're not the type of person who gets in the sea. So that's the yin and yang to it, right? You set your intention, but what do you need to let go of? And we've worked the whole January refresh around the intention that you choose on day one. And then we're going to take people on a journey for the next 2 weeks. So I did just want to mention the January refresh. I hope you don't mind, Claire.
No,
but
sure.
When you were saying there about, you know, you broke the cycle. You always told yourself you were the type of person who blushed, but that was a learned behavior.
That was a learned behavior, which was rooted in fear and shame. And shame only can live in the darkness. It can only exist in the darkness. So what I did that day with Georgina was, if you can imagine a house, right, which has been abandoned, you walk into that house and you go into every room and you open the curtains and you open the shutters and you let the light in so that the light, like, echoes right round the house, and suddenly shame and guilt and darkness and anxiety can't live there anymore because you've brought it up and you've processed it.
Oh, I love that. And that's the thing that we need to do. We need to open the curtains on our life.
Yes.
I lived for so many years telling myself I was a certain type of person and missing out on so much in life. And when I opened the curtains of my life, my entire world transformed. And I know that we spoke about this, and I spoke about this in the September reset as well, that you changing doesn't suit everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's why change can be hard, because people will say, but you're not that sort of person. Oh, Jesus, the state of you running down the road. You've never done that before. You know, all of these sort of things that we hear. But I wrote this down. Everybody won't be happy for your change, because your change will remind them that they're not changing. Don't stop your change.
Yes.
Don't refuse to open the curtains on your life, because it suits other people for you to be in the dark.
If you want to change, forget what other people think. Come off Instagram. Don't ask people's opinions. Just get your head in your own game and think about what your intention is for 2023. And you know what? Find the people who will build you up. Find the tribe of friends who will support you, because you want to make a positive change in your life.
Don't let another year go past where you don't make the changes or you don't keep the promises that you made to yourself. 2023 is going to be our year. We're all going to do amazing things next year. We're going to do them together. We're going to support each other. We're going to be here for each other. Yeah. Set yourself an intention next year. You can do it.
Beyond that challenge, beyond that obstacle, is everything you've ever wanted.
So let's get into recommends really quickly. My recommends is our friend Mel Robbins. Her podcast, it took me a while to start listening to it, but oh my God, it was just what I needed. She uploaded an episode called Your Dreams Are Not a Joke. And off the back of what we were talking about there with intentions in 2023, if you want to get into a really good mindset on how you can achieve your dreams next year, this is the podcast for you. Give it a listen. It's absolutely epic. And I promise you'll be pumped after listening to it.
Mel Robbins' podcast is great. And you don't want to not do what Mel Robbins says. So you wouldn't cross her, like, you wouldn't cross her. My recommends, I just want to give Georgina Durkin a mention. She is going to be seeing people and doing healing sessions in Newtown, Mount Kennedy in County Wicklow, but you can also get her online. And for the incredible 30, 40 minutes we spent together, if you feel called to her, check her out on Instagram, The Soulful Life Coach. Second thing I want to mention in recommends as it's coming up to Crimbo is littlelight.ie. It's an Irish jewellery website. It was set up by a girl called Kaylee and her sister Fiona. Fiona lost her husband Keith, who was the light and soul of their lives. And in his memory, they have set up this jewellery company. And they've beautiful necklaces called things like Nurture, Pause, Self-Love. And the one that she sent me for you and I, George, of course, is, let me just show you, I'll put it up on Instagram as well, Soul Sisters. So it's a little gold necklace with two gold rings connected to each other.
Oh my God, that is so beautiful. I love it.
Isn't that just gorgeous? So I'll bring that home and give that to you for Crimbo. Littlelight.ie. Now, Christmas, as we know, ain't an easy time. And if you can get a bit of time alone over Christmas, I have a couple of really, really good podcast recommendations. And what I'll do is I'll give them to you, George, and you can put them in our show notes. There's about five or six really good episodes from across the year of 2022, ones that really resonated with me, and some actually that Soul Sisters recommended to me. So if you're looking for a good podcast to listen to over the next couple of weeks, you'll find them in our show notes.
Yeah, I suppose to all the Soul Sisters, I hope everyone has a great Christmas and find some peace over the next few weeks. And it is kind of so hectic and so busy. But to remember, I suppose, to come back to yourself and, you know, spend some time with yourself and do something that you love over the next couple of weeks and do something just for you.
I just want to say thank you as well to all of the Soul Sisters who got in touch with us over the year. It's been the most precious experience recording this podcast and connecting with a brand new tribe of people. And every single bit of encouragement, like, have you seen this bath on Instagram?
Yeah.
Do yourself a favor and get your own bathroom done up. Every single bit of advice and support and every single little laugh that I got into my DM, I really, really appreciated. And I look forward to doing more in 2023.
Oh, me too. And thanks to everyone like who's on the kind of outskirts of Soul Sisters, like Jamie, Pia, my mum, your sister, your friends, Audrey, Scott, Lee, you know, all of these people that make Soul Sisters what it is. And every single person, Anya, you know, Aoife Bradley, all the people who listen and send us messages. We'd never be able to thank every single person, but the whole community makes Soul Sisters what it is. And we just get the privilege, Claire, of hosting the conversation every week. But it's been such an honor to be in people's ears, on their walks, in their kitchens, you know, wherever, in their car, when they're on the way to work. Thank you so much for listening. And I'm so excited to get back on it next year, Claire.
Yes, George. And I want to leave on this sentiment that I read and I thought, wow, this is what we've talked about previously on Soul Sisters and the power of communicating, even if it's just with your eyes, with a stranger. So Dr. Rangan Chatterjee put this up on social media. Even brief eye contact with a stranger can increase feelings of inclusion and belonging. Subtle interactions that feel like nothing end up making all the difference. Every bit of positive social feedback gives you a boost. You feel differently about your place in the world. So give a stranger a smile this Christmas. And you know what? Beyond that, give a stranger a smile in January, because you'll get as much from it as they do.
Beautiful. Thanks, Soul Sister.